You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
A few weeks ago, Dan Pashman and I got into a Twitter debate over whether a hot dog is a sandwich. He says it is. I say, I'm not so sure. So he joins us now to talk about what makes a sandwich. Dan Pashman is host of the Sporkful podcast and the author of Eat More Better, which will be, excuse me, I'm getting all choked up about this, Dan.
It's an emotional topic.
It'll be published in October by Simon & Schuster, and I'm very pleased that you've come back to our show.
Thanks, Leonard.
What is your definition of a sandwich?
Well, I look to the Earl of Sandwich for my definition. I look to the framer's original intent. I'm a strict constructionist, which is why I have been called the Scalia of sandwiches. And I have a two-part test that is inspired by the Earl of Sandwich and what he was going for when he invented the sandwich. And the first is that you must be able to pick it up and eat it without your hands touching the fillings, whatever the fillings may be.
And nobody had done that before?
To the best of our knowledge, it was plate, fork, and knife. The idea of picking up your food, it certainly was not considered civilized. I'm sure it had been done to pick up your food and eat it with your hands. But by encasing the meat in the bread, you could pick it up without getting so messy. My other criteria is that the fillings must be sandwiched between two discrete hand-ready food items.
Now, it's been noted that Europeans often cut hot hamburgers and such with knife and fork. They don't eat them by picking them up with their hands. Mayor de Blasio was teased for cutting a pizza using a knife and a fork, and then I went to Naples and everybody was using a knife and a fork to eat their pizza. So he was right. They were wrong. But still, all of these definitions are kind of fluid is what I'm suggesting here.
I mean, language is alive, as we know, and the definitions of words change. Maybe people who are on WNYC 100 years from now will have a very different conception of sandwich.
So what makes a hot dog a sandwich, in your opinion?
Well, as I see it, it is a little bit of an etymological gray area because it's on a hinged bun. So the hinged bun is sort of one structure, but I believe it counts as two because really what it is it's a roll that has not been fully severed. You could sever the hinge of the hot dog bun without fundamentally altering the hot dog structure. Not so, for instance, with like a hard taco, which is also a V shape, if you will. But if you were to cut a taco along the hinge, it's a pile of nothing. A hot dog, you could sever the hinge and still eat it as a hot dog.
A hot dog seems to me to be a meat equivalent of an eclair.
Is an eclair a sandwich?
No.
I mean, is a profiterole a sandwich? I would argue that a profiterole is a sandwich.
Well, so you make a strong argument, and yet I suspect there are people who disagree with you. Some people, notable people who disagree with you.
Like you yourself, in fact.
Well, I don't know how notable I am. But John Hodgman,
right. He has argued that the hot dog is not a sandwich, and his primary argument is that unlike a typical sandwich, you would never slice and serve a hot dog in half. You would never slice it in half and serve a half hot dog. Mm-hmm. He says a hot dog is a unity.
You can do that with the sandwich. Sometimes if I just think there's too much bread, I take the top part of a sandwich off and I eat the filling with the bottom part of the sandwich.
Well, I hate to break it to you, Leonard, but I would argue that at that point it's no longer a sandwich.
So that's why you say an open-faced sandwich is not a sandwich, even though it's called a sandwich.
Well, it's a misnomer. I think it should be called a bread sundae. Because the Earl of Sandwich would not be able to pick up an open-faced sandwich and eat it with his hands without his hands touching the fillings. He would not recognize it as a sandwich.
Well, since you're a sandwich constructionist, a strict one, does that mean that I believe in a living sandwich approach?
You are of the living sandwichdom school. That is correct. Uh-huh. Yes. And you're not the only one.
Well, I'm outnumbered in the Supreme Court. By the way, we assume that there are listeners who have strong opinions about this, and we invite their calls. Our number here is 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC, or you can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org, or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. So you would say wraps are not sandwiches, burritos are not sandwiches. You've already said tacos are not sandwiches.
Well, I do believe that wraps and burritos are not sandwiches, but interestingly, New York State disagrees, because there is a tax on sandwiches in New York State, and the Department of Taxation and Finance issued a tax bulletin a couple of years ago that made a list of what they consider to be sandwiches, and they include burritos. They include gyros. They include open-faced sandwiches. They include all kinds of wraps. They even include a buttered roll as a sandwich.
You wouldn't call a buttered roll a sandwich, even though it's butter between two pieces of bread?
That's one of the toughest ones, I think, Leonard. I want to say that it's not a sandwich, because I think in that instance the bread is the butter is simply a spread or seasoning. It doesn't cross the line into fillings. But I don't know. What do you think?
If you put jelly there, it would be a jelly sandwich.
Well, now
butter and jelly aren't all that different. Peanut butter, it's a peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah, but peanut butter and jelly.
The only difference is butter is better for you.
That's a whole other criteria. To me, peanut butter and jelly feels like a meal. Butter feels like a seasoning or an accompaniment.
You know, I think we're splitting hairs here.
Well, what else is a debate about language for other than splitting hairs?
I know that you have strong feelings about hot dogs that go beyond whether they're sandwiches or not. For the Sporkful podcast, you went to a hot dog place in Chicago called Hot Dogs. Why is that such a special big deal?
Well, it's a legendary shop that's been in Chicago for about 13 or 14 years. It's especially famous for probably two basic reasons. One is that it's run by a trained chef named Doug Sohn, who is known for his very inventive sausage concoctions involving things like duck sausage, foie gras. He has a lot of wild game, rattlesnake sausage, and all different kinds of very interesting pairings that are not your typical sausage joint dishes.
Now, you would call them sausages and not hot dogs.
Well, I think the hot dog
in Quebec, they do sell foie gras hot dogs.
Well, I'd like to go there someday.
No, you wouldn't.
But I consider the hot dog to be a member of the sausage family, if perhaps a little bit of a sort of distant cousin.
So he also has duck fat fries.
Oh, yes.
How is the Chicago-style hot dog different from the New York-style hot dog?
Well, Chicago-style hot dog is, they say it's dragged through the garden. It's got slices of tomato, pickle wedge, celery salt, this neon green relish, sport peppers, chopped onions. I would argue that it almost crosses the line from being a hot dog with toppings to a whole other concoction.
And you talked to Doug of Doug's Hot Dogs about that, and this is what happened.
It has not crossed that line. Some of it's just the physical nature of it. You can only put so many things on it before the bun actually can't hold it. So you are limited by physics.
So is that where you would draw the line? If it can stay on the bun and the dog, then it's still a hot dog.
That's part of it, but also I think you also might get to a point, and I haven't experimented with this enough. So many ingredients, then it's out. It's like any dish. Then it's out of balance. Then it doesn't, work. Then it doesn't taste right. Then you don't get, the great thing about the Chicago-style hot dog is you have these textures and flavors. You have sweet. You have salty. You have crunchy. You have, a little bit softer. You have creamy. You have sharp. You have tanginess. And I think once you start adding too many things, you lose those aspects.
To me, if you add anything other than sauerkraut and mustard, you've added too many things. When people put ketchup on it, I consider that something of a desecration, the same way as when you put mayonnaise on a pastrami sandwich.
Well, some people in Chicago might take umbrage.
They had chili. People put relish on their hot dogs.
In Chicago?
No, everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people will put anything on there. That's right. No, it's...
We have a caller named John calling in from Brooklyn. Hi, John.
Yes, this is John Hodgman calling.
Excellent.
Hello, Dan Pashman and Leonard Lopate.
Hello, sir.
Hi, John.
I'm actually not in Brooklyn, New York. I'm in Brooklyn, Maine at the moment.
They stole our name.
Trying to work on a project, but I could not listen to this hot dog as sandwich heresy any longer.
Well, give us your opinion and explain why.
Mr. Pashman, who has a great podcast called The Sporkful, it feels very strongly that a hot dog is a sandwich, and said so somewhat in response, I think I'm not misstating, Dan, to the piece I wrote in the New York Times Magazine in my Judge John Hodgman column, where I ruled that a hot dog was not a sandwich because it could not be cut in half. Now, that's not my main argument. I believe that a hot dog just is essentially a hot dog, and I was trying to do that difficult thing of proving a negative. Anyone could define sandwich that would include hot dog. Mr. Pashman says it's between two pieces of hinged bread. That's fine. That's fair. I was looking for that one thing that distinguished hot dog from sandwichness, and to me, I realized the fact that you would not cut a sandwich in half unless you wanted to look like a weirdo or were under the tyranny of some child, to me, distinguished hot dog from sandwichness.
Now John, can I ask you a question?
I fear that Mr. Pashman goes too far, because by his definition of sandwich, almost anything could be a sandwich, including, as through his own words, profiterole, which that's insane, sir.
Now, John, have you ever eaten a hot dog and had the two parts, the hinge parts, break apart? That often happens.
Yeah,
does it become
underneath
a sandwich then?
No. The point is, a hot dog is a hot dog. It is a sui generis piece of street food, and it is not. It was not designed as a sandwich. It began as a sausage. The bread was added later in order to allow people to eat it on the go, in a completely different etymology or cultural etymology from the Earl of Sandwich folklore. And previous to that, people would eat a hot dog while walking around World's Fairs wearing little white gloves, which was gross. So
well,
they added the bun later.
All that may be true, and it is true that I addressed this issue on my podcast in response to Mr. Hodgman's piece in the Times, and I certainly have a great deal of esteem for him and his podcast and all of his work. Thank you, sir. But I must.
I was hoping for a war.
It's a polite war.
No. There's a war. There's a war.
but just because the hot dog's genetic background is different, because it didn't come through the Earl of Sandwich, does not mean that it did not end up in the place of sandwich. I think that you yourself, John, when you said a moment ago, people wanted to be able to eat it with their hands. It was a piece of meat, a sausage that they wanted to be able to pick up and hold with their hands and eat it. That's the exact same reason why the Earl of Sandwich created the sandwich.
If you're talking about a sandwich being food that is designed that you can pick up and eat with your hands, is a slice of pizza a sandwich?
Not any. It's food that is designed to be picked up by the hands in a certain way.
But you fold a New York pizza, so an argument could be made that way. We're running out of time.
That's sort of like transubstantiation. When you fold it in half, it magically becomes a sandwich.
Yeah, well,
if you take one piece of bread, we all know what a hot dog is. It's a hot dog. All right, that's all I have to say.
John, if you take one piece of bread and you cover it with something and then you fold it over, it winds up becoming a sandwich, doesn't it?
No, well, if there's sandwich filling in it and not a hot dog in it.
You know, my problem is I'm a Libra.
If you take a piece of bread and wrap it around a hot dog, then you're strange.
John, thank you.
Let's all end this conversation.
Yeah, no, but I want to ask you a different question. I want to ask Dan as well. Do you have favorite kinds of hot dogs, or is the Hebrew National okay, the ballpark, the kind that you get in every supermarket? Or do you go to places like Walter's in Mamaroneck, which are famous for their hot dogs?
Well, I'm from New Jersey, so if I'm going to go old school New York metro area, I go to Rutz Hut in Clifton, New Jersey, where my grandfather went. But to me, I don't love Hebrew National. It's good, but I don't love it because kosher hot dogs don't have the natural casing, and I always seek out natural casing.
John?
Is Rutz Hut the one that has the Ripper, the deep-fried hot dog?
Correct, yes.
Oh, Pashman, you and I, we're going to go out there together. I've never had that.
Oh, let's go. We got to make that happen.
All right. There will be some form of peace will be forged, and I hope we'll all donate to some sort of hunger charity after this.
John, before you go, and I'm throwing this out to Dan as well, what do you think of using meat in place of bread, like the KFC Double Down sandwich that has two fried chicken fillets instead of bread?
That's an exercise in perversion that makes me laugh every time I think of it, but I would never put it in my body.
Yeah. I put a half of one in my body once for entertainment value. I do think it's a sandwich. It's just not delicious.
We've got to sneak a couple of calls in. Ragnar, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you? I just want to shed some light on the open face sandwich, because it's called open face sandwich only in this country, because there's no word for what they called it in Scandinavia, which is smørbrød og skive. Smørbrød being buttered bread with stuff on top of it, sausage.
So it's just a matter of us not having an equivalent English word. Well, does that make sense to you, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I think so, yes.
A listener on Twitter invokes the toast sandwich, which Wikipedia defines as a sandwich made by putting a thin slice of toast between two thin slices of bread with a layer of butter and adding salt and pepper to taste. And its origins can be traced back to Victorian times. You have nothing to say, although it sounds weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, look, I stick to my original definition. If the Earl of Sandwich, if it fit his criteria, he depending on which historian you believe, he either needed to free up his hands to feed his gambling addiction or so he could run the Royal Navy, or perhaps both. And if this food would have helped him to do that more efficiently by encasing fillings between two discrete hand-ready food items, then it's a sandwich.
We don't have time to take any more calls because we've run out of time, but if you, our listeners, want to share your opinions about sandwiches and continue this conversation, you're in luck because at 1:30 today, Dan is hosting a Twitter chat about sandwiches. His Twitter handle is @TheSporkful. You can use the hashtag #NotASandwich. And Dan, thank you so much for being on our show again.
Thank you. I'd like to invite Mr. Hodgman, if he's still on the line. He's welcome to take part. We'll also have Planet Money taking part, Food 52, and Mignon Fogarty, also known as Grammar Girl, in the Twitter chat.
Okay.